I would like to read from Revelation 15 some verses before we pray. Revelation 15 from verse 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank you for the great privilege to be gathered in the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, coming into your presence. O Lord, who are we, unclean from head to toe, and yet you had mercy on us, and you accepted us. Lord, out of sheer kindness and grace, you have drawn us unto thyself. You revealed yourself to us in your great love and saved us, hast forgiven our guilt, hast spoken to us so graciously. Faithful God, overshadow thyself this gathering with your Holy Spirit. May the word of the divine promise be anchored in our hearts, and may your Spirit quicken it for your glory. Lord, we ask you, may you lay a special blessing upon this service. Speak to all who didn't understand you until now. Save still those who are lost, and heal the sick. We remember all them who are on our hearts. O Lord, may we not only testify that you are still the same today, may it be manifested through your divine deeds that you are amidst your people. O Lord, bless us, give grace to speak and grace to hear. Bless also all who cannot be here today. Bless all who will hear this service somewhere, someday. Comfort the sad, encourage the faint-hearted, straighten up, O Lord, do us well according to your promise. Take now everything from us, the everyday life with all its troubles and needs, with all the personal problems or whatever it might be, Lord, that we now could be totally veiled in under the cloud of the glory of God, and that you could speak to us in a way as a father speaks with his children, with whom he means well. We lay everything before you, and we ask you, have thine own way with all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Only believe. This we want to believe with all our hearts, and we expect that today it happens what would take place if we could meet the Lord personally. This is actually the true living faith in the risen Lord. Not just to believe what he did once upon a time or what he still will do, but to believe with all your heart that he, according to his promise, is present to fulfill his word in them who believe it and to confirm it. And thus is a living service, not just a dead form, not a tradition, no statutes, no dogmas, just a living proclamation of the living word, which brings us into connection with the living God, giving us a living faith by His grace. We do not expect dead services, but living meetings in which the living God can bear witness to us. It says so nicely in the book of Acts, chapter 1, after His suffering and His resurrection, He testified of Himself to His own to be alive. Through many infallible proofs, because He is still the same today, we may count with it that He will testify of Himself to us. We understood of what it is about in this time, not about feelings, not to be pulled away with some kind of spiritual movements, but to be brought in conformity with the Word of God, getting the connection to the working of God in this time, to have part in it, namely in that what God is doing now. For me, and I think for all of us, who we understood that God is not a God of the past, but of the present time, it became great to us that in this generation He testified of Himself to be alive. And all who know it, in the cloud and in the pillar of fire, He came down to give a divine confirmation at which every objection is useless. They even contradicted the Lord. But for the believers, it was null and void. He who believes, believes despite of all contradiction of them who personally are in contradiction with God. Therein is the whole secret. Whoever is still in contradiction to God, he contradicts God. He doesn't like what God does. He cannot identify himself with it. Therefore, we are so grateful to our Lord God that we are not rebellious, that we don't have to object, but that we let ourselves be embedded in His love by God, to have part in everything what God is doing now. If I would have lived in the days of Moses, then I would have believed with all my heart what God did then. No matter at what time people have lived, all, and listen closely, all who were pardoned by God, they have in their time believed that what God has done. And by it, very personally, they confirmed that they believed the things which God promised and what He has done. Thanking God for it. For those who are here today for the first time, and this always can be, we would like to tell you with a sincere heart that we want to come as close to the original Word of God as possible. That we want to come as close as possible to the early church, to the Word which the apostles and prophets proclaimed and what our Lord taught. And then agree with it. Also this, we don't want to hide from you, that God has sent at all times men with a special ministry, with an extraordinary commission. And this happened in this generation, just as many times in all of the past. And we are not ashamed to say that God has blessed Brother Branham in a very special way and has anointed him, that he spoke with him and that he sent him. We don't make an idol of him, God forbid, but let it be far from us to bypass it. I never ever want to bypass what God is doing. Whoever bypasses what God is doing, he bypasses God. And whoever does not believe the revelation of Jesus Christ, he will have to believe the Antichrist. And we just read in this word of introduction of the overcomers who stand at the sea of glass. And there it says very clearly, them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over the number of his name, standing at the sea of glass with harps of God in their hand. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. There will be a multitude of overcomers standing at the sea of glass. By his grace, I want to be part of them. But here are three things mentioned which we have to overcome, tests which we have to stand. The victory over the beast, over his image, and over the number of his name. And we will write about it shortly, very clearly, so clear as never before. We will write about it. May it cost what it costs. I have only one life, and if I can use this life for God, then I would be grateful. However high the price may be, but the time is here that everybody knows who the Antichrist is, who the false prophet is, who the beast is, what the image of the beast is, what the number of the name 666 is. It is high time that a clear divine language also in all these points is spoken. For just a couple of days ago, here in Switzerland, a pamphlet was distributed, and there the computer shall be the story. This we can all forget. It's about spiritual things and not about some kind of device. But about this we will write very clearly. I can still remember it very well. When the TV came up, there the man preached very loudly, "This is the image that can speak." Now they see the text on the monitor. Now it's no more the TV. Now it's the computer. It is not both. This is a misleading of them who don't know the Holy Scripture and who have not believed the revealed word for this time. God has described the things very clear. And when it says there, the whore is riding on the beast, 7 heads, 10 horns, then it doesn't take long to guess. One just needs the Spirit of God. The Spirit of revelation one needs to have, to know what these things are. Now, let us read some scriptures. I would like to start with Ezekiel chapter 40. From the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 40. Here I read verse 3 and 4. "And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel." For everything what God does, there is a certain time. There is a time period in which, according to the great plan of God, certain things are running, coming to fulfillment and take place. If it is about Bible prophecy, then we have to put all interpretations aside and must look at them in their fulfillment. Dear Brother Branham always said so nicely, God is his own interpreter. By letting the things happen in the way as he promised them, and as they are written in the word. Here it is no more about the mouth. Here it is about the eyes and about the ears. Let me read it once again. "Behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall shew thee." The people of God who heard the revealed word of prophecy and who believe it receive spiritually anointed eyes and ears to hear and to see what God promised and what he is doing. Both belong together. We see the promises and we hear how God has fulfilled them. Such people are sitting there no more at the feet of a Gamaliel to receive wisdom, but at the feet of Jesus, who still walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, whose voice still goes forth, who still speaks to his people today. Our Lord is not dead. He is alive. He testifies of himself. And every time when he speaks with us, then our hearts are burning, full of thankfulness that we, amidst of millions and billions of people, have been pardoned as a little despised flock to sit at the feet of our Lord and to hear his word. Right in Ezekiel 43, we read now a wonderful word, namely from verse 4. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. And my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile. Perhaps so far this word. Here the main thought is the Lord in his temple. We are the temple of the Lord, the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants to dwell and walk amongst us. He wants to be our Lord. He wants to speak with us. And therefore, we can do without any show. We abstain from everything what we can do and wait humbly that God comes to his right and that he accomplishes through his word and spirit in each one for what he has sent it for. And he said unto me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne. The temple was on earth. The prophet was transferred there in the spirit. He saw as the glory of God came down and filled the place. And the voice of the Lord speaks to this man of God, Son of man, this is the place of my throne. Beloved, the throne of God is in heaven, but God wants also to be the Lord in your and in my life. He wants also in your and in my life to throne, and in your and in my heart, the place must be given to Him. And then in the overall church, so that His glory can be manifested. We still have in our hearts an unsatisfied longing, despite of all what God has done already, despite of all the blessings and insight in His Word and what goes with it. Yet we have an unsatisfied longing for God. And we look up by faith and say, Lord, when will You, with Your glory, fill Your temple, anointing Your vessels, sanctifying them, consecrating them, so that You can reveal Yourself anew? When will Your church again be the temple of the Holy Ghost, in which God can testify of Himself? Every one of us who has read the Holy Scripture and who looks at the church of the early days and knows that Jesus Christ is still the same today, and hence does the same, and who even knows a bit more, who even knows that we live in the days of the total restoration of all that what the church has lost. If we understood that these are the days of the divine restoration, then we cannot do otherwise but to believe that the Lord will give us everything back, what was given to the church at the beginning. Do we all count with it? Do we wait for it? Is this the agony cry of our soul? Thereto it must come. God satisfies a longing, and if it is according to His Word, then He cannot do otherwise but to confirm what He said and promised. We read another word from Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, to show you that God takes out a remnant. It's not the broad multitude, but a little remnant which He takes out. Romans chapter 11, verse 4 to 6. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Oh, if we could grasp what it means when God called out to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Everything what God does is valid eternally. And if it takes place according to His word, then we can rely on it. As eternal as the word is, so eternal is that what God does through His word and through His spirit among His people by His grace. Here I like the statement, "But what saith the answer of God?" Hallelujah. Praise God. Not your and my answer. Thus is God's answer. I don't want a human answer. I need, in spiritual things, a clear divine answer. And this cannot come from any denomination. It cannot come from any evangelist, from no preacher. A divine answer can only come from God Himself. And He speaks to us through His precious and holy word. Blessed is the man in whose heart the word of God has come alive, that something moves in it. I read it once again. But what saith the answer of God unto him? Today, the answer of God is addressed to you and to me, a divine answer. I have reserved to myself a remnant who have not bowed their knees before Baal. God has a remnant in this generation, and this remnant will neither bow before the Antichrist nor before the false prophet, will bow before nothing, only before the living God. And they will be the only ones who will have spiritual discernment. Because according to Matthew 24:24, because the two things, the right and the false, directly before the return of the Lord, they will be so close to one another that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. But it is impossible, because they are chosen and they have the divine answer. They are put together as the temple of God, and the Lord walks in the midst of us. He sanctifies the service and those who participate and speaks with us words of teaching and revelation which are not heard in any seminary, directly through His precious word. This doesn't make us lofty or proud. This humbles us into the dust and into the ashes, that we must say wholeheartedly, "O Lord, what have you seen on me, on us, that made you to receive us and in this way to speak with us. In the first word from Ezekiel 40, we read of the eyes and of the ears to hearken, to see, where to hear and where to see. To see what God is doing according to His word. To hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Everything else must be silent. Nobody has to talk into the matter of God. And nobody needs to presume that he wants to help God. No, God does not depend on our help, but He is able to help us all. We depend on His help. No one of us would have known the things and would have read by himself from the Holy Scripture if it would not have happened to us as with a eunuch. He was in Jerusalem, in the holy city, at the holy feast, and was on the way home again without having achieved anything. And the Lord sends a man of God to him. He was reading in the prophet Isaiah. And this man of God asks him, "Do you understand what you read?" And he was so honest, so thoroughly honest and sincere. He said, "How can I understand except some man guides me? Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Prophets never spoke of themselves and will not do it in all future. Also the two prophets which will still come to Israel, they will not speak of themselves. They will speak of Him who shall come and who will come and will prepare the way for Him and will call out the people, the 144,000 from all 12 tribes. God was merciful to us. We have read the Holy Scripture for many, many years and did not understand of what it was about. Suddenly, God sent us a man of God. He sat upon our wagon. We heard the sermons and found out that God has spoken to us through Him out of the Word. This is the identification of a man who was sent from God. He speaks the words of God, words of revelation and of teaching. Let us not expect in these days that it will be great multitudes who follow the Lord. It will be a remnant, a little flock. And it is the will of God to give it the kingdom. Not through a denomination, not by people of a high reputation, no special horse before the wagon, not great announcements, no publicity, just in a simple way to the people of God, the Word of God is brought. And while we speak it or hear it, the Spirit of God takes it and reveals it to each one personally. How many understood that we live in the end time, but how few understood what God is doing amongst his people in this end time? And as I have said it already sometimes, they write books about the end time, also about Israel. And if nothing is being fulfilled, then they are silent and writes another. But about that, what God has promised and what is doing now, you can read in no bookshop of any denomination or church. There are probably books which don't deal of what matters now in the kingdom of God. For many years, this made me sad, especially when I came to churches of the full gospel, not only in Europe, but in all the world. And then there was a large book table. And then I looked over it, Moody and Sinki and who they were are all on the book table. But that, what God has done in this time, they let it fall under the table. Beloved, we are grateful to God, very grateful that we believe the right thing. And this I really dare to say, before the Almighty God, who tests all the hearts and who knows them, I'm happy to tell you that that what the others rejected, this precious cornerstone, this Lord, who is also the capstone, and this great revelation of God for this last time, that we may lay it upon the table and nothing else. All the other things had a meaning for their time. But we are living in another time. We don't live 400 years or 200 or 100 years ago. We live now. Now, in the last generation. Without any doubt, is this a prophetic age? Biblical prophecy is being fulfilled around us in all the world. And there is no politician of high reputation who could be so well informed as we, who we understood God's word by revelation of the Spirit. Right? They are all walking in the dark. This is not a malicious assumption. This is a sad fact. And yet, we can say, as in the days of Daniel, the God in heaven still reveals the secrets. All fortune tellers and magicians must move off. They know a lot, but they don't know God and not his word. Daniel was a prophet, and to him God revealed what would happen until the end. And so we know that the word of the Lord came to the prophets. Thus is the divine answer. Your and my answer must be God's answer. We can do without any human answer in spiritual things. And we need a divine answer. I have reserved for me 7,000 men. Also, this formulation is lofty. These 7,000 could not say, "Yes, we stood firm." The Lord says, "I have reserved these 7,000. The Lord did it. No one of us can glory, and whoever glories, let him glory in the Lord, that he was merciful to us and that he spoke to us. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal." Now comes this wonderful verse. Take it very personal. "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." A remnant. Not the broad multitude, but that what is left of the broad multitude. People who have been always searching, whether in denominations or churches, whether in fellowships, whether conversion or whatever experiences, up to the Spirit baptism, somewhere a longing remained in us unsatisfied. But now the Lord has revealed unto us His word, and by it making known unto us His will, every person to whom the word of God is made known by revelation, to him the will of God is revealed. There is no will of God separated from the word of God. Our Lord says, "In the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do thy will, O God." We, as the children of God, have become a part of the kingdom of God, of the church of the Lord, and we are on earth that the will of God can take place through the church, which is the body of the Lord. And this verse is also very important. "And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace." Precious heart, as already mentioned, no man can glory before God. But if you want to glory, then in the Lord, who was merciful to us. He is faithful, and He will lead us through until the end. We will reach unharmed, despite of all battles, despite of all attacks. And the longer the more, we must count with it, that the battle is getting hotter. The Lord will bring us through unharmed until the end. Until we come from believing unto seeing. And then At the sea of glass, we will stand. In Zephaniah, this is a small prophet in the Old Testament. In Zephaniah 3, it is written in verse 12, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Is this not something wonderful? In the midst of thee, I will also leave an afflicted, a humble and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Do you want to read what is written in 2 Chronicles 20:20? It's a well-known word which we sometimes have read. 2 Chronicles 20:20, it should be, if I remember it well. A wonderful word. I read, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Also, this is God's word. The Lord says, whoever receives a prophet, not somebody who claims to be a prophet, of them we have too many. I still remember the last three prophets which I have seen dressed in white in Lagos, Nigeria. You really feel otherwise. Let us forget all them who think to be prophets. A man who dresses white or black is not a prophet yet, who takes the rod in his hand. Yeah. A prophet is a man of God to whom the word of the Lord came, who knows the day and hour, and it will always line up with the word of God. Many may probably take the first part. Trust in the Lord, your God, and ye shall be established. But the second part belongs to it. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper or win. I want to win. I want to be part of the victory crowd to the overcomers. And if God says very clearly, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. We have read in Romans 11, at the time of the first Elijah, God reserved for himself 7,000 men who did not bow their knees before Baal. The Lord fulfilled his word at the end of days. There will be a church which bows before God. And whoever bows before God will not bow before him who celebrates himself to be God. Never ever. And whoever has the Spirit of Christ will discern the spirit of the Antichrist, although it would be decorated with scriptures from head to toe. We would push the matter aside, and as we say it in our country, not beating upon the bush, but upon that what is hiding under the bush. Many look from outside and are enthused and don't see with how much craftiness the enemy walks around. He doesn't always roar, most certainly not. Sometimes he comes in the form of an angel. He has many faces, not only one or two. He knows how he shall come to each one. But the Lord has a remnant, a church, a people of God, who will not bow their knees before this last Antichrist system, but they will remain faithful, faithful, as it is written, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We must count with it, but don't you worry. If we would have to face a test today, which goes beyond the normal and daily things, then our knees probably would shake a bit. But if the time should come, I don't know whether it will come, but if it should come that we would have still go through trials, beloved, I dare to say today that God's word has become so precious unto us that we would not exchange it for anything. And as certain as we carry the word of God, so certain the Lord will carry us through, also in the hour of temptation which will come upon the earth. The church of the Lord will stand its ground. Now a word from Proverbs 16, perhaps for our comfort. It still touches me because of the brother's visit yesterday. I read here from Proverbs 16, but the verse which reminds me on him is written in chapter 17. Perhaps I read firstly verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Perhaps somebody is here who needs comfort. Perhaps you are broken-hearted. Perhaps in a temptation and trouble. May it be a firmly decided fact in your soul that you trust the Lord, and that you don't despair and not speculate why this or that has happened. Because here it is written, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A person who is sick must be of a good courage in his soul, for it transfers to the body. It's a confidence which we have in our heart toward God. Now, from chapter 16, from verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. What a wonderful word. Here, especially the thought that the Lord is nigh to them who come to Him, who seek refuge in Him. And then this wonderful statement, He that pays attention to the word shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Precious heart, let us do both, paying attention to the word as unto a bright light which shineth in a dark place, as Peter has written it in 2 Peter. And secondly, we not only want to keep the word, paying attention to it, to have blessing, but to trust the Lord so that it is well with us. These words are so wonderful. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us summarize. God has brought us into His presence for this high and holy purpose and gathered us in His presence so that we see and hear what He shows and what He says. Secondly, God has placed us together as His people, as His church, to be the manifestation place of God on earth. And as we read it, there I established my throne and walk amidst of them. I'm asking you today, and please understand it rightly. From where did the word of God go forth? Most certainly from the throne of God, right? But what good would be a word which would go forth from the throne of God, if not the same word through Jesus Christ our Lord, who walks in His church, could not be newly revealed to the church and be told to her? Then it would be a word which goes forth from the throne of God, reaching the whole earth, and is written in the Bible, about which everybody can think what he likes, interpreting it as he likes. With this we are not helped. The same God who in heaven from the throne lets go forth His word has a church on earth, and He is the Lord in this church. He has the right, if He is Lord, to establish His throne and let His word go forth unto us. His throne must not only be in heaven, it must be in your and in my heart. It must have the opportunity to rule. We all know the word of the prophet Isaiah, or God who spoke through him. The word which goes forth from my mouth will not return void unto me, unless it has accomplished for what I have sent it for. For me, this thought is precious. God's word, which has gone forth from the heavenly throne, has reached the earth we are on earth as the Church of God, determined to give him the first place so that he quickens the same word in our midst and in our hearts. And then it will also not return void amongst us, but it will accomplish that for what the Lord has sent it for. To me, this thought is precious. To this, I can say a hallelujah, a praise God. The word has gone forth from the heavenly throne. It was preached and received on earth. The Lord has a church in which he can still speak, he can still walk, he can still work, and I want to be part of these people who, as the Church of the Living God, are put together. There are many churches and denominations, many organizations, but only one Church of the Living God, of them who are written in heaven, the firstborn, those whom God could reveal himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the Word which became flesh. With him the Word came upon this earth, becoming flesh. It was fulfilled, and we, as the bride, are a part of the bridegroom. He will fulfill the outstanding rest of his word in the remnant of his people. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is still a rest on biblical promises which God will fulfill in the remnant of his people, in them and among them and through them who will not bow their knees before Baal. And here I have an absolute confidence to my God that all who are part of the bright church of the Lord, who will be at the sea of glass, they will bow their knees only before the Lord and before nobody else, before no Baal or anyone. And therefore I know that we will reach the destination. Be of good courage, says our Lord, for I have overcome the world. He has overcome everything, and we may win together with him, through him who gives us the victory, and this is Christ. Trust him, he will bring it to pass. Blessed be his wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Maybe we sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Before then, some brothers who feel led to thank the Lord, let us sing, "Just as I am."
Worten rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm. Ich komm. Wir neigen noch kurz.
We bow our heads. Maybe we give the altar call first. Should somebody be here who would like to dedicate his life to God? A better opportunity will not come. The Lord is nigh to us. He dwells and walks amidst his people. He speaks to us. Should somebody be here who has not yet fully dedicated his life to God, who never experienced a conversion, that he doesn't know that he was born again unto a living hope? Precious child of man, become today a child of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit, this is Spirit. Do not marvel that our Lord said, ye must be born again. By the seed of the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, if the Lord has called you, you should come. As all heads are bowed, as all eyes are closed, and we persevere in silent prayer before God, if the Lord has called you, then please raise your hand. I would like to pray for you. Is somebody here whom the Lord has consciously called? Thank you, sister. Is somebody else here? Most surely, most are believers. But it could be that there are still some who have not yet dedicated their lives to God. Let me once again ask, is somebody here who likes to consciously dedicate his life to God? Then please raise your hand. Thank you. Heavenly Father, you have seen the hands and the hearts. You know what is going on in each one of them. Faithful Lord, you are calling, and everybody who hears your voice and who comes to you, you will not cast him out. Faithful Savior, receive all, forgive all guilt and sin, cleanse and sanctify. Make out of the children of men, children of God. Faithful Lord, you are nigh to us. Oh, how precious is your word. How wonderful are your ways, you King of the people. Lord, receive the praise with all our hearts for all my brothers and all my sisters. Bless them from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We raise our hands and sing it again. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise and honor, glory and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. His truth is marching on. Heavenly Father, your anointing rests in a mighty way on this gathering. Lord, here is your people, the sheep of your hand, the sheep of your pasture, who know your voice and who hearken to it. Lord, today we have the connection to you, the fellowship with you, holy and intimate. Hallelujah. O God, you have a connection established from the throne of God down to this earth through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You purchased for yourself a church through your holy and precious blood. O Lamb of God, thou the Son of God, you the King of Kings, look graciously down to your people. Bless, Lord, your inheritance. Thank you that you still speak with us. Anoint our eyes, open our ears. Lord, let us be part of this remnant on which the remaining promises will still be fulfilled. Oh, we want to praise you, glorify you, worshiping you, for thou art worthy that one honors you while sitting on an ash heap. Hallelujah. Praise, glory, and honor and worship be unto your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Savior, I commit unto you your people. Receive us all and bless us from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.